This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.
Good morning. And take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. While you're turning there, I would like to take a moment of personal privilege and just say to the Good Hope Baptist Church family how much my wife, Kathy, and I thank you for the loving way that you have received our daughter and son-in-law over this past year and a half. We are indeed grateful, blessed beyond measure, and as the Apostle Paul would say, thank my God in every remembrance of you. Thank you so much for loving on them like you have. Now, with that being said, if you have anything that you want to tell me about Josh, jot it down. Make a note of it, and I will receive it from you after service today and make it a matter of intense prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you have found that. In our church, we stand when we read God's Word. So if you don't mind, if you're physically able, stand one more time in honor of God's Word. We're just going to read three verses. We could read more, but you want to get out of here at a reasonable time. So we're just going to do three this morning. Verses 16, 17, and 18. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for the message and song, for the worship of your church, the lifting up of the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the ones that are even this hour embarking on a trip to return to their loved ones after a week of ministry. Please be upon all that they do this day. Your ministering angels be there for them every step of the way. Thank you, Father, for this church gathered here today around your word. We come asking, Father, that your word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The world is watching you. The world is watching the church. Oh, they may not in vast numbers come in here and sit with you on Sunday morning, but they're watching you, the body of Christ. When you go to lunch today in that restaurant, if that's where you go, the waiter or the waitress will be watching you. They'll be observing your actions and listening to your words. When you're in line at the Walmart, the clerk is watching you. The people in line before you and behind you are watching you. They are observing you, especially if they have any inkling that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to shorten the circle just a little bit this morning. I know the world is watching us, and we need to always be careful, and that everything that we do, as the Scripture tells us, as Jesus tells us, to be the light of the world, so that as we go, as we speak, as we say, that we'll be His light wherever that we go, and that we'll bring honor to His name through our good works. That we keep our behavior excellent among the Gentiles, says Peter. And we always have to keep that in mind. The world is watching us. But have you ever stopped to think for just a moment that your brothers and sisters in the church are watching you? You're watching one another. Now, it's not a creepy thing. I'm not talking about in those kind of terms. I'm talking about in a spiritual sense that we are watching one another for our behavior and our lifestyle within the body of Christ. I want to ask you this morning, would you want to have characteristics in your life that would cause others within the body of Christ to say, "I want to be like them"? If that's the case, then this scripture will help you this morning. Because I believe the Apostle Paul, in these closing remarks in his first letter to the church at Thessalonica, is talking to the church itself, not just in their public witness, but how they react and respond to one another within the body of Christ. There's a whole series of imperatives here that Paul gives, really, if you begin back around verse 12 and conclude on through the and go on through the conclusion of the book, there are probably 15, 16 imperatives that the Apostle Paul gives. We're just looking at three of them this morning, but they're three very important ones. Remember that as you live out your walk before the Lord, that somebody is watching you. How should we live then in light of that? So that others would want to say, I want to follow Christ as they are following Christ, because they are following Christ, in the way that they are following Christ. Well, take a look at them. They're very simple. You could break them down into three words: joyfulness, prayerfulness, and thankfulness. They seem pretty simple, don't they? Well, let's take a look here. He says here in verse 16, two words in the New American Standard: rejoice always. Be joyful. Be joyful, church. Now, why would Paul have to say that? Why would Paul have to remind them to rejoice always? Well, I think it's simple. And people forget. People simply just forget. You ever forgotten somebody's birthday? Men, have you ever forgotten your anniversary? Your wedding anniversary? I bet if you have, you only missed it one time. We forget sometimes, don't we? And we have to be reminded. It's all right that the Apostle Paul takes the time to remind us to rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord, he says in the book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Must be important because he keeps repeating it. He did not say, note what he did not say. He did not say be happy. Be happy makes for a really cute song, but happiness really is just circumstantial. If you really stop and think about it. I'll give you some examples. You may be sitting here today with your bags all packed. You're after church is over with, you're going to rush home, change clothes, and hit the road for vacation. You're happy today because vacation awaits you. Now, at the end of the week, as you return at the end of the week, you're going to be sad because it's time to come home. That is, unless maybe you're toting a bunch of munchkins with you, and maybe then you'll be happy because it is time to come home finally. But you've noticed that. You leave town and you're happy. You come back and you're happy to come home, but you're sad that you had to leave your destination and the place where you went to vacation. You got a bonus at work. You come home from work and find out that the washing machine has gone out. Isn't it just the way it works sometimes? You get a little extra money in your hand, and something always happens. You get a raise at work, not just a bonus, not just a one-time increase, but you get a raise at work, and 2 days later the car dies, and you have to go buy another one. You're not happy at that moment. You're not supposed to be happy at that moment. Happiness is circumstantial. Paul is talking about being joyful. What possible reason, preacher, do I have to be joyful today? Let me give you three. I could give you a lot more, but let me just give you three. Three reasons that you can be joyful today. Number one, your sins are forgiven. Through Jesus Christ today, you have been forgiven and you have been released from the penalty of sin. Think about that for just a moment. When you see your Savior face to face, you will not stand there and have to give an account for the sin in your life because that sin has already been judged at the cross. Praise be to God. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something now. I'm a little accustomed to having folks shout back. So if you just get happy about saying something, go ahead. because it's all right. Your sins are forgiven. They are forgiven finally, fully, forever. They are forgiven through Jesus Christ. Secondly of all, your Savior is faithful. Do you know people will let you down? I'm not telling you something you don't already know. People will let you down. Your pastor, as wonderful as he is, as smart as he is, as godly a man as he is, and I have noticed that. He served under me for 7.5 years. If there'd been something wrong there, I think I'd have picked it up long time ago. He's a very godly man, but he's not perfect. Your elders are wonderful men, but they're not perfect. They're not always going to be faithful in every instant all along the way, but you can be sure that your Savior is faithful, that He will never leave you, that He will never forsake you. He is faithful to you. Let me read you this. This comes from the book of Zephaniah. By the way, just in case you're not familiar, Zephaniah is back there in the Old Testament where the pages all stick together. He was a minor prophet, and he had this to say in chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will renew you in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Can you imagine God shouting? We Baptists won't shout unless we get to a ball game somewhere. Now, we get to a ball game or some event like that, we'll shout forever. God is shouting over you. This faithful God says, I shout over you. I rejoice over you. I will renew you in my love. I will give praise because of you. Your Savior is faithful. Your soul is fixed. You say, what do you mean by that? Simply what it says in Romans chapter 8, that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Death nor life, things present nor things to come, principalities nor powers, nor, Paul went on to say, nor any other thing. It was almost as though Paul said, let me just say, after I've said all these other things, if I forgot something, any other thing, there is nothing that will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, you don't know how I've lived this week. You don't know what I said the other day. You don't know how I acted toward my children on the way to church this morning. Listen, I want to tell you something. It doesn't make any difference. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He's already paid the price for your sins. Now go to Him and repent of those sins and get right with Him. And keep walking with Him each and every day. Now, in these things, I'm not merely trying to stir up your emotions, or I'm trying to reach your heart and inspire your faith. When I say to you today, be joyful. And remember, somebody else is watching. Somebody who could use a little joy in their life is watching for you to see if you are being joyful in your life. Now, thinking of that, let me ask you this. Has your situation changed since I said these things a moment ago? Your Savior, your sins are forgiven. Your Savior is faithful. Your soul is fixed. Thinking of all those things, let me ask you something. Has your situation changed? Has the pain in your body departed? Is your relationship been restored? No. The circumstances of your life cannot change these truths. Joy comes from God, and as such cannot be affected by what is going on around you. Choose joy. And your life will be a miracle to others who watch how you handle the difficulties that come your way. Other people are watching. Your church family is watching. For the benefit of trying to learn something from you that will help them along their spiritual journey. be joyful. Secondly of all, he says, be prayerful in verse 17. Three words here. Wow. He's increased his vocabulary. Pray without ceasing. Be prayerful. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Well, for one thing, it means praying repeatedly and often. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. You don't have to turn to it, but it's in Romans 1, verse 9. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of His Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you in my prayers. Now, we can be sure that Paul did not mention the Romans every minute of his prayers. He prayed about lots of things, many things, but he mentioned them over and over and often. So when we say without ceasing, it doesn't mean that we are verbally or mentally praying all the time, but every minute of the day, but we should be the type of people who pray over and over and often. It was Charles Spurgeon who said that he never prayed more than 5 minutes at a time, but he never went more than 5 minutes without praying. I think that's called praying without ceasing. Secondly of all, it means to never give up on prayer. Don't ever come to the point in your life where you cease to pray at all. Don't abandon the God of hope and come to the point where you say there's no use in praying. Go on praying. Go on praying. It is always the right thing to do. Pray short prayers if you need to. Tell God you are struggling to pray. Somehow, some way, through the grace that God gives you, keep talking to God. Keep praying. He is anxious to hear from His children. He wants to hear from you. He looks forward to hearing from you. Keep talking to Him. Keep praying. Just pray. There are a lot of different kinds of prayers. There's the formal prayer that you have within a service like this, where gentlemen come up and they pray at the beginning of the service. They pray over an offering. They pray at the invitation time. There are those formal times of prayer where we engage with them as they pray. There are the personal times of prayer. Those times where we just get alone in our prayer closet, so to speak, at home. Or wherever that you can, whatever place that you have to find, whatever place where you can go and get away and get along with God and spend some time with the Lord in prayer. But there are those not just formal times or personal times, there are also those informal times. This is where you help one another in the body of Christ. Those informal times where somebody comes up to you and begins to express a need that they have, a burden that they're going through, a trial that they may be engaged in or going through at this particular moment in their life. You know what the best thing that you can do for them at that moment in time is not to say, well, brother, sister, I'll be praying for you, then go home and forget about it, because we do that. Take them by the hand right then and pray with them. Grab their hand at that very moment and stop to pray with them. We got a guy in our church. His name's Joe. Joe's got about a sixth grade education. Grown man in his 50s. But I want to tell you something. The moment that Joe begins to pray, heaven falls. He can't string together two or three really good sentences together. He's lived a hard life. He's spent some time in prison. But I want to tell you something. He walks up to the platform and prays over the offering. You would have thought heaven has descended. You say you let him come up in your platform and pray? You better believe I do. Because I love listening to him. And he's just the type to grab you in the hallway by the water fountain after Sunday school when you have expressed a need to him and you asked him to be praying for you, that he would take you by the hand and say, let's pray right now. See, that is the type of thing that I'm talking about where the church is watching. Where we need to make sure that we are ministering to one another within the body of Christ. You want to be joyful in your life because your sins are forgiven. Ha! You're going to heaven when this is all over with. You say, boy, it's just getting bad out there, but I want to tell you something. There's a hope yet to be experienced. There's a heaven yet to be gained. I want to tell you something. You've been justified by faith. And because you have, you are at peace with God. You have access to God. And there's the hope of the glory of God when you get to heaven one day. I want to tell you something. Listen. Be joyful, church. Rejoice always. And again, Paul said, I say rejoice. Sometimes you just have to remind yourself. Sometimes you have to have a little talk with yourself. That's what David did in the Psalms. David would say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Did you notice what David did? David had a little discussion with himself. So I thought folks were crazy if you said you talked to yourself. No, you're not crazy if you talk to yourself. You're crazy if you answer yourself. David had a little talk. We have to have a little talk with ourselves sometimes and remind ourselves that we need to be a joyful people, but we need to be a prayerful people because the people around us need to see that. People around us need that from us. And there will be times, listen, there will be times you think, well, praise be to God. God used me today to intercede and pray with somebody else. You know, the time will come, the roles will be reversed, and one day you'll be asking them to pray with you. Listen. You want to be able to reap what you sowed. You want to sow into other people's lives so one day you'll be able to reap from their lives. And the blessing that they'll be to you as well. Anyone can pray. Your prayer may be what God is waiting for to do something special in your church. Let me say that again. Your prayer may be what God is waiting for to do something special in your church. One fellow said it like this. He said, when I finish praying, I remind myself that because I prayed, God will do more than He would have done if I had not prayed. Now, God will act because He loves us even when we don't pray. But He does more when we do pray. Be prayerful. Pray without ceasing, and pray for the benefit. Make sure you have written down the needs of others, that even if you can't get to them today after service or sometime this week in person, that you at least have their needs written down so that you can be in prayer for them all week long. We need to be building up the body of Christ. We need it desperately in the day in which we live. Listen, we're not going to get any help from outside. You're not going to get any help from the world out there. We better make sure that we sort of close ranks and take care of one another. While we continue reaching out with the gospel of Christ so that others might be saved, we better make sure that we're looking out for one another within the body of Christ. Amen. Be joyful. Be prayerful. Let me get to the last one. Be thankful. What did he say in verse 18? In everything, give thanks. It was late Calvin Miller who said that the worst of all possible moments for an atheist is to feel truly thankful and have no one to thank. Most Americans are not actual atheists, but may be practical atheists. See, an actual atheist has no God to thank. I can't imagine being like that. But a practical atheist has a God to thank, but never thinks of doing it. Case study is the study of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. You remember the story. I don't have to retell you the story of how they were all going along the way and they got healed of their leprosy. Now I can imagine. I can't imagine. I've never had leprosy. I've never had anything like that. You probably haven't either. But can you just try to imagine in your mind for a moment what that must have been like after years perhaps of isolation and other people yelling out as you come along, unclean, unclean. Now all of a sudden, they're cleansed. What is the first thing most of us would do? We'd go find our family, wouldn't we? We've been isolated and away from them and could not embrace them and love them and be with them. So we would go hunt our family up at a moment like that. Well, that's what 9 of them did. But before the 10th one went and did that, he went back and found the one who had provided the healing to say thank you. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be a people who are thankful. Thankful in three different ways. Let me give you these. Thankful for past blessings. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you. It will amaze you what the Lord has done. Thank God for past blessings. I give you a couple of examples. Thank God today for that rebellious child. That rebellious child that you may have cursed today at times of their birth. But be thankful for the good days of childhood and for the possibility of better days ahead. How about the death of a spouse? Some of you have probably been through that. And the terror of the future that comes along with that. Be thankful. Give songs of thanksgiving for 10,000 joys that were shared with one another during that time. Be thankful for past blessings, for the impact that that person made upon your life and still makes upon your life, even though absent from your life today, but it's how they still impact your life and your thoughts on a continual basis. Give thanks. Give thanks for present favors. Thank God today. Thank God today that it could be worse than it is. You say, I can't imagine it being worse than it is. Oh, it could. And many times we say to ourselves, when we're going through difficulties, have you ever said this? When in the midst of your difficulty, you think, thank God, I know that it's not as bad as what probably somebody else is going through. Thank God for the present favors that you have in your life right now. Thank God for promised grace. Not just for the past, not just for the present, but for the future as well. Let me give you an example of that. Maybe somebody in here is about to have surgery. Maybe you're scheduled this week for surgery. I've gathered around folks when they have gone for surgery at the hospital. Even if it's minor surgery, I have gone because I've always had the attitude that if you're being put to sleep and you're being cut on, there ain't nothing minor about that. You have the need for surgery. You know it's coming. You dread the pain, but you're thankful for the skills of the surgeon. Thankful for one that understands what your needs are and has the ability to address those needs as best as he or she possibly can because of the grace gift that God has given to them to be able to learn and to be trained so that they can help you to get well. Be thankful. Can I give you a suggestion today? Surround yourself with grateful people and stay away from complaining people. Say, whoa, that may cut down the number of folks I hang around. Well, okay. That may be. That may be just what you need to do right now. Be thankful. Just for a period of time, you just need to get around some positive folks. You've been around folks that are just negative. You've been around folks that have just been not building up but been tearing down. You've been around folks that are just grumpy all the time. Maybe it's time to find you some thankful people. See, that's where you come in, church family. With those that have been in the presence of those who are oftentimes complaining and bickering about things and it's just wore them down. And they need somebody within the body of Christ to stand, or they just need to come stand next to you for a little while. That's maybe all they need to do. They don't need to come around and get any advice from you. They don't need any prayer from you. They don't need any help from you.
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.